Krishna. Om Ganati Mirandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshura Miditam Yenatas Mai Shigurve Namaha.
Today is a very special day in the Vaishnava calendar. It's the appearance day of Srimati Sita Devi, the wife of Advaitacharya, and also it's Ganesh Chaturdasi. And I'm going to explain a little bit about both things. Did anyone see the moon this morning? That's good. I'll tell you why in a second. There's a whole interesting story about this. In some of the Puranas, I don't know how bona fide the story is, but anyway, it's a story that's probably I know more about Hinduism than all you Hindus know. So what the story is that one time the moon laughed at Ganesh. So he cursed the moon, Ganesh cursed the moon, that so any day, not any day, but on the Chaturdasi, if anybody saw the moon, their reputation would be damaged and people would criticize them. So if you saw the moon, and there's a remedy which I'll tell you about. And for every curse, there's a remedy. The remedy is, well, let me tell the story of why it's the remedy. Once upon a time, Krishna was in his palace, and he looked down on a reflection in the ground or in a pool of water, and he saw the moon on that particular day. And what happened is that after that, he was accused of stealing the Shamantaka jewel, and his reputation was damaged. You know that story? It's from the Krishna book. And then what he had to do was go out, and actually he found that the Shamantaka jewel had been taken ultimately by Jambavan. Is Jambavan? Yeah, no, it's not here. And Jambavan had given it to his daughter Jambavati, because the jewel had been in the hands of Satyajit's brother, Prasena, who had been killed by a lion, and the jewel was near the lion, and Jambavan killed the lion, and Jambavan took the jewel and gave it back, gave it to his daughter, Jambavati. But everyone was accusing Krishna of stealing this Shamantaka jewel. Could this Shamantaka jewel was capable of producing so many pounds or ounces or whatever of gold every day? And wherever it was, everything was very fortunate. And Krishna, of course, wanted it for the city of Dwarka, not for himself, but he wanted it to keep the city of Dwarka opulent. But Satyajit had refused. So therefore, everyone was thinking Krishna had stolen it. And so Krishna ultimately had to retrieve it by fighting Jambavan for like 28 days. And finally, Jambavan realized that Krishna was what? The same as Lord Ram. And he paid obeisances and he gave Krishna a present. In addition to the Shamantaka jewel, what did he give Krishna? His daughter, Jambavati. So that's the story of the Shamantaka jewel. So that's the remedy. If you saw the moon today, up to about 8 or 8.30 this morning, it's dangerous. When we were walking, I was making sure I was just watching the ground instead of looking up at the sky, not like I normally do. So up to about 8.30 in the morning is the Chaturdasi. And so please don't look at the moon or else we're going to be blaspheming you soon. Accusing you of being a chora or a thief. So that's one story. So of course Ganesh is the son of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, there's a story, he actually got angry one time and cut off Ganesh's head and replaced it with the elephant's head. And Ganesh is a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Does anyone know what his carrier is? You know, what does he ride on? What? A rat. See? She's the only bona fide Hindu here. He rides on a rat. All the demigods and all the great personalities, they have a particular carrier. Like Lord Brahma has a swan carrier. And Lord Shiva has what? A bull. What's the bull's name? Nandi. So Ganesh has this rat that he rides on. And anyway, so Ganesh worships Krishna. And it's described by the Goswamis of Vrindavan that a devotee can worship Ganesh for freedom from the impediments that one may have in devotional service. like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, etc. One funny story before I get on to the other topic of today. When Prabhupada did not advocate for us to worship Ganesh, but there were two devotees who were worshiping Ganesh. Their names were Yashodanandana. There were sannyasis at that time. Guru Kripa and Yashodanandana. Anyway. And they were really interesting characters. I won't tell you how they made money. And they gave a lot of money to Prabhupada for his Krishna Balaram Mandir. So they would worship Ganesh, but actually their altar was quite interesting. Their altar was their, you know what a safe is? You know where you keep the money? So they had it, so every time they opened up the safe to put the money in, they would do a puja to Ganesh. It's funny, isn't it? And so Prabhupada was asked about this. They asked, or someone asked Prabhupada, you know, is it okay to worship Ganesh like this? And Prabhupada said, yes, you can worship, only you can worship Ganesh. You only have my permission if you give $100,000 to me every month. And they did it. So they continue to worship Ganesh. Anyway, so this interesting ISKCON story about worshiping Ganesh. Of course, in many places of the world, I don't know if they do it in Fiji, they take the Ganesh deities down to the shore and they just leave the deities there. It's actually disrespectful. Like if you go to Mumbai, the Juhu, which is the beach in Mumbai, on this day of Ganesh Chaturdasi, there'll be people worshiping Ganesh and then they just throw the deities in the ocean after that. And then the municipal bulldozer, you know what a bulldozer is? Has to come along and there's literally thousands or tens of thousands of Ganesh deities and it has to crush them and put them in the garbage because they're all in the sand. So it's not a very nice thing to do to Ganesh. So we worship Ganesh because it's described in the Brahma Samhita that Ganesh holds the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on his tumali. Tumali is like, I guess, like the hairs of his head. So Ganesh worships Krishna like that. So as any devotee, or as in the case of any devotee, we can worship him as a devotee. But we don't do the Ganesh Chaturdasi ceremony where they march through the street and chant the mantras and the pandas are collecting all the money and everything like that. We worship Ganesh by chanting Hare Krishna. That's what Ganesh wants. Ganesh doesn't want worship for himself. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he said, he wasn't interested in a biography of himself. Of course, we did a biography out of our devotion. But Prabhupada said that we should worship Krishna. Don't make it the Bhaktivedanta Swami movement. You understand? So it's not that in the future there should be some people celebrating Prabhupada in the same way that people celebrate Ganesh Chaturdasi. That's a vidhi purvakam. He's not God. He's the servant of God, and Ganesh is the servant of God too. Okay, and also, what was the other story? Oh, yeah, of course, there's some story that he wrote down the Vedic literatures with his tusk as Vyasadeva. In the Mahabharata, there's this story that Vyasadeva was looking for someone who could write as fast as he could speak. You know that story? And so Ganesh said, I can do it. And so he pulled out one of his tusks as a pen. That's better than a, what do they call it? A Mont Blanc pen. You know what a Mont Blanc pen is? No. Just about a few days ago, Parashuram Prabhu gave me a special pen, a Mont Blanc pen. It's worth about $100. But anyway, now I'm all nervous about a pen, you know, losing a pen. So Ganesh told Srila Vyasadeva that I will write down what you dictate, the Mahabharata, as long as you don't stop. When you stop, I'm finished. I'll take a vacation. And so Vyasadeva said, all right, but let's have a deal. This is Vyasadeva's part of the deal. Srila Vyasadeva. He said, if I say something that you don't understand, then you have to stop. So Vyasadeva sometimes would say things that Ganesh would not understand so that Vyasadeva could take a little break. You know, he said something very complex in the Mahabharata, So Ganesh was going, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? And so that gave Vyasadeva a chance to take some prasad. You've heard that story before? Just see. How can I know more than all of you? What? Nah. I'm a better Hindu than you. Yeah, but sometimes when we preach, especially in Lambasa, and there's people there from the Ramayana Mandalis, and I tell all the stories about Lord Ram that I know, they say, wow, he knows more than me. And I've been worshiping Lord Ram and drinking kava my whole life, you know. we're actually going to propose to the new constitution of Fiji that there be no intoxication allowed in any temple or mandir. Isn't that Rupanuga? That every single church, mandir, organization has to follow the rules that they have. We're not going to impose our rules on them. But whatever rules they have, like in Christian church, no smoking, no drinking, right? So if someone wants to be a priest, he cannot smoke or drink. So we're going to propose that. Because Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada said that if we are in charge, we're not going to force everyone to wear dhotis and, you know, be a Hare Krishna devotee, but to follow the rules of their particular religion. That's what we should propose to the Constitution. Otherwise, you know, if you find someone from Sanatana Dharma who's eating meat, kicked out, then he should just be called Malecha Dharma, instead of Sanatana Dharma. Anyway, okay, so that's the first thing today. That's Ganesh Chaturdasi. Hopefully nobody looked at the moon today, or else you're going to be criticized, or you should read that story about Vishwamitra Thakur. Second thing, which is actually more important for us, it's the appearance day of Srimati Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita Acharya. And I'm going to speak a little bit and read a little bit about her. She is worshipped as much as Sachi Devi herself. And she's considered like a mother, one of our mothers. She's the eternal wife of Advaita Acharya. And here's some history. She was the daughter of a personality named Nrisimha Bhaduri. That's a Brahminical name. And she married Advaita Acharya in Puliya Nagara. In fact, she and her sister married Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya had two wives. Just like you have the two aspects who associate with the Supreme Lord Narayan, Sri and Bhu, right? You know about that? Like if you go to South India, and it's also Sri, Bhu, and Neil. But in this case, we're just talking about Sri and Bhu. That means Lakshmi and Bhumi or Bhu Devi. When we talk about Bhu, that's B-H-U, which refers to Bhumi or Bhu Devi. And Bhumi, in one sense, can be considered the similar or the same as the Maya Sita that was kidnapped by Ravana. You know that story? Anyway, there's a whole story. I'm not going to get into that story. So, after Advaita Acharya got married, they went to live in Shantipur. Shantipur is the eternal residence of the Advaita Acharya. The devotees every year have a massive prasadam distribution in Shantipur. And Sita Thakurani was always absorbed in what we call Vatsalya Prem. Does anyone know what Vatsalya Prem is? Parental affection in relationship with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in order to carry out that particular mood and service, she used to instruct Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata how to care for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She was present at the birth celebration of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and she presented many different gifts, such as jewels and other ornaments, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead upon his birth. Let's see. When Advaita Acharya, this is an interesting story, heard the news of the coming advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's described he floated, this is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Advaita Acharya floated in the waves of ecstasy And with Haridas Thakur, he went to bathe in the Ganges River. And then he sent his wife very quickly to go to Mayapur in Navadvip. And according to the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, which is Kavi Karnapur's book about who Lord Chaitanya's associates are in Krishna Leela, Sita Thakurani is Yoga Maya. Of course, Yoga Maya is the pastime potency of the Lord. You have Mahamaya and Yoga Maya. And Yoga Maya in Krishna Leela is called Purnamasi. And Purnamasi is the mother of who? Nobody knows. Sandapani Muni. And she's the grandmother of who? Madhu Mangal. See, there's a devotee. You should learn these things. Everybody should read. So also in Dwarpa Yuga, that is when Krishna appeared, she was present in the house of Nanda Maharaj when Krishna was born. Or Krishna appeared. We know that, as we've described previously, Krishna is actually the son of Nanda and Yashoda. Krishna, in his original form, is not the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. And we described why, I think, in previous class, so we don't need to get into that. So here's some account from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that after the birth of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'm going to read this, one day shortly after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Advaitacharya's wife Sita Devi, who is worshipable by the whole world, taking permission of her husband, went to see the topmost child with all kinds of gifts and presents. She brought different kinds of golden ornaments, including bangles for the hand, armlets, necklaces, and anklets. There were also tiger nails set in gold, waist decorations of silk and lace, ornaments for the hands and legs, nicely printed saris and a child's garment also made of silk. Many other riches, including gold and silver coins, were also presented for the child. Sita Thakurani rode on a palanquin covered with cloth and accompanied by many maidservants. Of course, that was the standard, too. Like Prabhupada said, that a chaste lady would never what? Never have her face seen by what? The sun. Not her son, the sun. Because the chaste lady would always ride on a palanquin. And no other man would see her other than her husband and her immediate family, of course. So Prabhupada described how his mother, even, when she wanted to go somewhere, they had to hire men to carry her on a palanquin. So you ladies, you should do that. Have your husbands arrange for that. Nowadays, of course, the ladies drive their own cars. So, in the old days, it was like that. It was very, chaste. No man would look at the lady. And, of course, there's that whole story in the Ramayana. After Ram had actually defeated a Ravana, and they were bringing Sita Devi, and they were carrying around a palanquin, all the monkeys and everybody was just like trying to get a glimpse of her. And of course, Ram said, she's chaste. She can get out and they can see her. Ram gave them that special mercy that they could see Sita Devi. But even Lakshman, in his interactions with Sita Devi, the only thing he looked at was what? Her feet. So the only way he could identify her was with the jewelry. From the feet, the ankle bells and everything like that. So, of course, we can't imitate that nowadays. It would be highly impractical for you ladies. Then you just have to stay at home all day and roll chapatis. Men would love it, but... No, because now they want to send you to work to make money, too. And the man wants to stay at home, and you work, you cook, right? Because then the man sends him out to work, to cook, to clean the house, do everything. And the men have become very lazy. So, anyway, getting back to the point, Sita Thakurani came to the house of Sachidev, bringing all these things with her, and she was astonished to see the newly born child. And she appreciated that, except for a difference in color, This was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, who had appeared in Gokul many years before. Seeing the transcendental bodily effulgence of the child, each of his nicely constructed limbs full of auspicious signs resembling a form of gold. That's why it's called Gauranga. Sita Thakurani was very much pleased, and because of her maternal affection, she felt as if her heart were melting. She blessed the newly born child by placing fresh grass and patting on his head and saying, "May you be blessed with a long duration of life." But this is important. But being afraid of ghosts and witches, she gave the child the name, what? Da, 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 da. What type of tree was Lord Chaitanya born in? Nimai. So she was the one who gave Lord Chaitanya the name Nimai. Interesting, isn't it? And then, on that day, several days later, the mother and son took bath and left the maternity room. And Sita Thakurani gave them all these ornaments and garments and honored Jagannath Mishra. Then Sita Thakurani, being honored by Mother Satyadevi and Jagannath Mishra, was greatly happy within her mind, and thus she returned home. From that day on, Sita Thakurani would often come to Mayapur from Shantipur in order to teach Shachimata to care for the new baby. And after helping her with the child in this way, she would return to Shantipur. And when it came time for Lord Chaitanya's birthday ceremony, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi let Sita Thakurani be the first to offer the child his new clothes. And of course, Advaitacharya also had a house in Navadvipa in addition to Shantipur, and that's called Advaita Bhavan. Has anyone been there? I think some of us have been there. That's very close to the Yogapith where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And, of course, very close. And there's also, right next to Shiva Sangam, there's the house of Shiva Thakur, where the kirtans were held, the 48-hour kirtans were held, and then Advaita Bhavan right next to it. And also, there's an interesting thing on the altar there. In Shiva Thakur's house, there's a broken murdanga on the altar. Does anyone know why the broken murdanga is there on the altar? What? Why would there be a broken murdanga on the altar? Because the Qazi, the Muslim magistrate, he had the murdanga broken. And he forbade the devotees from having the Harinam Kirtan. And so then what happened is that shortly after that, he had a dream. And who appeared in his dream? Lord Nrisingadev. And Lord Nrisingadev sat on his chest and went, "Ha!" Didn't quite kill him, but said, "Don't touch any of my devotees. If you touch any of them more, you're finished." And so when he was having a discussion with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually showed Lord Chaitanya's chest and said, "From this day, I'm not going to interfere with your sankirtan." Continue reading. Sita Devi and Satyamata were of one mind. The baby, Lord Chaitanya, Nimai was their life and soul. So after several years, when Jagannath Mishra's son, Viswarupa, Nimai's older brother, had grown up, he suddenly took sannyas. He took sannyas because he heard his parents talking about getting married. And in those days, people didn't disobey their parents. They just ran away. You understand? So can you imagine that? You know, your parents are talking, "We got to get this guy married. We got to get an antecedent." And then you decide to take sannyas. That won't happen, don't worry. So he ran away. And Jagannath Mishra, Satchimata, and also Lord Chaitanya were overcome with grief. And Sita Thakurani consoled them upon the departure of their oldest son. Of course, their oldest son was an expansion of Balaram and Nityananda. And he later on entered, when he left this world, he entered into Nityananda. So it was an expansion of Nityananda. So let's see what else. Oh, yeah. After Lord Chaitanya exhibited his initial pastimes, for 24 years he was living in Navadvip. And he was married. Actually, he was married twice. The first wife passed away. And then the second wife, he was married. And then he left at the age of 24 to take sannyas.
Hmm.
So, let's see. Yeah, it's described here that he, this is also from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, when he took sannyas, he ran, turned his face towards the Vrindavan and ran off, half mad, in the jungle in search of Lord Krishna. Upon hearing this, Sita Thakurani spent 4 days with Sachi Mata, consoling her because of the separation with her son. Of course, we know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy, was running to Vrindavan, but he was tricked by Lord Nityananda to go to Shantipur. And Lord Nityananda was very, very tricky. He told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the Ganges River was the Jamuna. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumped into the Ganges River. Of course, he wasn't lying, because at the Triveni, you actually have the confluence of the three rivers, the Saraswati, Jamuna, and the Ganges. So they all flow together. So in one sense, when you bathe in the Ganges, you're bathing in these three rivers. Any place after Varanasi, you understand, where the Triveni is, has all three rivers together. So Lord Nityananda wasn't lying. So when he told Lord Chaitanya it was the Jamuna River. But Lord Chaitanya jumped in. And when he jumped in, he was swimming. And then he saw Advaitacharya on a boat. Advaitacharya had a fresh set of clothes and underwear for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what are you doing in Vrindavan? To Advaitacharya. And Advaitacharya said, no, this is Shantipur. And Lord Chaitanya got very disturbed with Lord Nityananda for tricking him. Lord Nityananda would trick sometimes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one time he even broke Lord Chaitanya's danda. And he just made an excuse. He lied. He said, I fell on it. You know, what can I do? We were in ecstasy. Or you fell on it. You were in ecstasy. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got so upset with him. So what happened is that the Advaitacharya brought Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house, and Sita Thakurani, along with Sachi Mata, got a chance to cook for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hmm. Actually, before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Sita Thakurani one time protected her husband from being basically beaten up by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very angry one time with Advaitacharya because he was preaching this philosophy called the Yoga Vashishta, which is a type of impersonalism. It's more or less, it's similar to what Patanjali taught. It's not really recognizing the personal aspect of God. So Lord Chaitanya proceeded to Advaitacharya's house and just like started beating him up, you know, hitting him with his fist, and said, you are teaching all this nonsense. And Sita Thakurani got out and she said, you're going to kill the old man. And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't care, he's teaching nonsense. So eventually, Lord Chaitanya stopped because Advaitacharya revealed his real intention. His real intention was to have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu treat him in an inferior way. Because previously, Lord Chaitanya was very respectful to Advaitacharya. He treated him like his guru. In fact, that was the proper etiquette. Because Advaitacharya had taken the mercy of Madhavendra Puri. You know, been initiated by Madhavendra Puri. So he was just like Lord Chaitanya's guru, because Lord Chaitanya's guru, Ishwara Puri, had also taken initiation from Madhavendra Puri. So Lord Chaitanya was giving Advaitacharya respect, but Advaitacharya, he was thinking, Lord Chaitanya is superior to me. He should chastise me. So in order to get Lord Chaitanya to chastise him, to beat him up, he actually started teaching a bogus philosophy. So the devotees appreciate very much when they get beaten up by Lord Chaitanya. And even there was Shivananda Sen, who was cursed by Lord Nityananda, and his wife was really upset because he was cursed to have all of his sons die. But then Shivananda Sen was very happy. We've offended Lord Nityananda. And then when Lord Nityananda kicked Shivananda Sen, Shivananda Sen was extremely happy. That doesn't mean we should go kicking our disciples. I mean, I'm not going to go around kicking everybody. That would be highly inappropriate, and also I'd be guilty of some sort of abuse. and you'd go to jail for that. And they'd send me to the prison for kicking disciples. So anyway, so that was one of the things that happened before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Hmm. So Lord Chaitanya visited the house of Advaitacharya, and Sita Devi began to cook for him along with Sachimata. And every year, when Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, Advaitacharya and Sita Thakurani used to go and visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they would bring their son Achyutananda with them. Now, it's interesting, another point is that Advaitacharya and Sita Thakurani had like 6 sons, but they only thought they had 3 sons. And the reason for that was 3 became devotees, and 3 did not take up devotional service. So they rejected those sons. Those sons, Prabhupada said, they considered to be asara. Asara means useless. So, I mean, sometimes, even materially, there's a perverted reflection of that. Sometimes I've visited some of my friends whose children did something they didn't want. And they say, I ask them about their daughter or son. And they say, I don't have a daughter or a son. I said, what? I remember, you know, playing with a little kid, you know, many years ago. And they said, no. There's no daughter, no son. It's an interesting phenomenon. But Advaitacharya actually rejected those who didn't take up the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when they would visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, Sita Thakurani prepared Lord Chaitanya's favorite preparations. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to increase their ecstasy, would go to their house that they were staying in Jagannath Puri and take whatever Sita Thakurani cooked. Hmm. And Lord Chaitanya treated Sita Thakurani with the same effect, that means affection, that he had for Sachimata. Hmm. And the 3 sons that were actually good devotees were Chutananda, Krishna Mishra, and Gopal Mishra. Hmm. Let's see if there's any other information I have here. Nope. So that's all the information I have about Sita Thakurani. So today is her glorious appearance day, as well as Ganesh Chaturdasi. So it's more important, of course, the appearance of Sita Thakurani. So does anyone have any questions about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Sita Thakurani, or Ganesh, Chaturdasi? Anything you'd like to know? Yes. Why did she have to what?
Why did Lord Ram
reject it? Send her to the forest, you mean?
No. Why did Lord Ram take Maya's seat instead of taking the
seat? Why did Lord Ram take Maya's seat instead of the actual seat? The reason for that is that had Ravana attempted to steal the real Sita, he would have died like that. Because just coming close to the real Sita, he would have burnt into ashes immediately. Because he could never approach the real Sita. Just like, you know, Prabhupada talks about this. He makes sort of a metaphorical statement. He says, if one wants Lakshmi, or one wants Sita, but he doesn't want to worship Ram or Vishnu or Krishna, he gets Maya Sita or Maya Lakshmi, which is Durga. And Durga is known as Chanchala. And it's also named Lakshmi, or Maya Lakshmi. But so very flickering. You can't have Sita, Lakshmi, or like we're going to have Radharani's appearance day, Radharani, any of these personalities, without Lord Ram. However, there is an interesting story about Mayasita. Mayasita is a person, and she fell in love with Ram because she was with him for some time. So she just completely fell in love with him and said, I want to marry you too. And Lord Ram said, no way. He was acting as if she were his wife, but they didn't have a close relationship. He said, no way, because I have taken a vow. Eka Patni Vrata. He was the first king to take that vow. All the other kings, there's one king, Chitraketu. He had 10 million wives. That's enough to fill Fiji like... No, 13 or 14 times. 13 or 14 Fiji's worth of people. I don't know if some of them were dacoits or criminals, but anyway, he had 10 million wives. I mean, they were definitely criminals because they poisoned the one child he had by the one wife. So Lord Ram, because the kings did that, not only did they have many wives, but whenever a wife came, she came with what? Maidservants. And he had relationships with them too. And the children that were born from the maidservants were called Dasiputras. So there was a whole, practically a whole palace full of the king's children. Some of you may are thinking, boy, I'd like to be a king. Sounds interesting. Nah, it's a lot of work. So, so getting to the point, Lord Ram said, I'm only having one wife. But because you're so devoted to me, in the future, you can be married to me. So then we go to the whole story of Venkateshwara, which I've told before. That one time Lord Vishnu was in the spiritual world, because he's always in the spiritual world, and who comes along but Brigha Muni and kicks him in the chest. Because Brigha was actually testing to see which of the three presiding deities, you know, the guna avatars, are in the mode of goodness, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. So with Lord Brahma, he just didn't offer his humble obeisances. With Lord Shiva, he insulted him. And both got angry. Lord Brahma was able to control his anger. Lord Shiva, you know, basically got a little out of control, but he didn't hurt Brigha Muni. And Brigha Muni kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest, and Lord Vishnu said, I apologize for having such a hard chest. How many of you are so much in the mode of goodness, if someone kicked you, you say, oh, did I hurt your foot? No, I mean, we were just like, become like fire, right? So that's passion. But Lord Vishnu, he's, like we talked about yesterday, he's independent. And he also respects the brahmanas. He even washes the brahman's feet. He puts the brahman's feet on his head, the foot water on the head. So he was tolerant, but Lakshmi, she's not tolerant. So she said, how can I tolerate this? You know, you're so lenient. You're too soft-hearted. You know, I got to go for a vacation. You know, she was so upset with the whole thing. So she went to the earth for a vacation. And Lord Vishnu, as the story goes, he was very lonely. So he went down to the earth planet, looking for Lakshmi, and there's this whole story that he was meditating under the ground, you know, looking for Lakshmi. Eventually, and he was a very poor person too, because without Lakshmi, you're poor, right? This is a pastime, of course. He's like Vishnu, who's never poor, he's never without Lakshmi. But in this particular pastime, it appeared that he became a poor man. So he was a poor man, and then he wanted to marry this girl from a rich family. And, you know, they fell in love. Something. And this girl was actually Maya Sita. So they fell in love, and the parents were opposed to it. You know how sometimes parents are opposed to a marriage? So he had to borrow money from Kuvera. You know, Kuvera, he's the treasurer of the demigod. He's the Madarang of the heavenly planets. There's Kuvera there. Of course, Kuvera is a little more generous. So,
I
So, that's all right, he's protecting Krishna's money. So Kuvera doesn't need a computer. So what happened is he borrowed money from Kuvera, and then somehow or other he had the money to get married. And so he got married to Maya Sita, and he also had to establish a place. He had to borrow something from Lord Varaha, too. You know, not money, but the place where he lives belongs to Lord Varaha. So in this way, he got married, and then lo and behold, the actual Sita or Lakshmi comes, and she looks at him, and she says, "What are you doing, my dear husband? Who is this lady?" And basically, the two ladies start to argue with each other. "He's my husband. I married him first." And then Lord Vishnu, you know, obviously, he doesn't want to get in the middle of two ladies arguing. It's kind of dangerous, isn't it? So he just says, how does he get away? He turns himself into a deity. You know that story? He turns himself into, that's Balaji, Venkateshwara. He turns himself into a deity, and the two ladies look around and they see, uh-oh, our husband turned into a deity. So they also turn into deities, and that's Sri and Bhu, who are worshipped with Venkateshwara. So, you understand? And that's in Tirumala. And that's on the hill. If you go on the hill in Tirumala, they have a spot where Balaji first came down to the Earth planet. Anyone been there? You've been there. Anyone who's gone on South Indian tour with me has been there. Because we climbed up the hill. You remember? And there's actually a spot. You climb up these little steps or something like that. And you get to the spot where Balaji landed. And then, because he's in the temple in Tirumala, because he owes so much money to Kuvera for his marriage, the devotees have to keep paying him money to pay back his debt. Because when you borrow money from Kuvera, it's not just like $10 or $20 or something like that. It's unlimited. It's demigod standard. It's like, you know, you have the, what is it, currency exchange? Between Fiji dollars, let's say Fiji dollars or American dollars, 2-1, right? But if you have earth dollars compared to heavenly dollars, the exchange rate is like infinity to one. You know, you check the bank exchange. You know, can you imagine, you go to the bank, Madhurang, and you say, "I'd like to buy some heavenly dollars today." They'll say, "You're crazy." So Kuvera has to be paid back. So the devotees donate all sorts of mountains of gold and other jewelry and money and everything like that. And that's why Balaji is the richest deity in India, anywhere, basically. The columns in the temple, many of them are made of gold, pure gold, or plated gold. And anyone who worships Balaji will get the fruits of their desires. I'm going to see him next month. So if you have anything you want, just give me a list. And I'll present. We're having our GBC meeting, our mid-year GBC meeting in Tirupati this year. So that's Balaji. That's an interesting story, isn't it? So that's Maya Sita. She did get a chance to marry Ram, but Ram had to take her initially so that Ravana wouldn't be killed by Sita. Because the Ramayana story wouldn't be that interesting, would it? Like, oh, here comes Ravana, goes near Sita, he's dead. You know, that's the end of the Ramayana. You know, no Uttara in the Ramayana, no fighting in the battle, no Kumbhakarna, no Indrajit. You know, all the interesting stuff is finished just because Sita happened to kill Ravana. So we don't like that part. We don't like that aspect of the story. That Sita kills Ravana. Okay. And that happy note. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Advaita Acharya, Sita.